At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. If you didn't know by now, it's every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. All right, grab your lunch. Come join me, producer Jake. What you're going to get? Unique insights, unbridled honesty, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. All right, ladies and gentlemen, first show I've done on The Ticket live in studio. Drop by if you're so inclined. Also, on Wednesdays, check out Steve Taylor from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, former All-American Nebraska quarterback. All right, first show after a loss. So, Jake, here's what needs to happen. Rule needs to be fired. White needs to be fired. We need to clean house. We need to bring it a whole. We need to do the 97 transfer portal player deal like Deion's doing because, well, actually, they did win. Did you watch the end of that Colorado game?
Oh, man, what a game.
So first of all, okay, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on Colorado, but the ending was crazy. First of all, and I don't know the player's name, but he drops the pass, and he would have walked in for a touchdown. So I'm thinking, oh, man, this kid has to live with this. And then like one play later, Shadur, much to his credit, like 50, 60 yards on a, not deep in the air, high in the air. It was on a rope. And if you notice, the DBs couldn't get over in time. They're trying to get over in time to knock the pass down, but they couldn't because it was on a rope. It's impressive. The dude's physically talented. Just stay away from him mentally and psychologically. But I digress if you're an NFL team. And then they tie it and they go into overtime. They score and then they cause the fumble. Of course, it's Travis Hunter. Causes the fumble of all guys. I'm like, seriously, is that 12? That's 12. All right, making the play. And Colorado wins. All right, so they won. So it kind of hurts my point a little bit. But I digress. We don't really want to do the 97 transfer portal player gig like Deion's doing because they haven't beat anybody good yet. Okay, there. That helps my point. All right, Jake, that helps my point. And my point is, all right, rough loss, hard loss. I call it a gut punch of a loss after the game on my gut reaction on the Carriker Chronicles YouTube channel, CarrikerChronicles.com. Cheap plug right there. But it's a loss. It's part of the process. Like, I didn't expect us to go 7-0 before the season. It's tough because the defense has not looked how we wanted the defense to look this year. All right, there was a drive versus a bad UTEP team where they went down the field and made it look really, really easy. The other three quarters, we looked really good. Colorado, first half, looked really, really good. Even the second half, only gave up 10 points. But the Northern Iowa game was not great. They only scored 3 points, but man, they ran the ball. They controlled the clock. We had a hard time getting off the field, especially in those third down possessions. But okay, you're allowed to have a mulligan, I guess. That was kind of how I looked at that game. Then you look at Illinois. Man, here's the other thing. The Blackshirts are a good defense. Statistically, right now, they're not as good as they were last year in just about any department outside of forcing turnovers. There's an argument to be made because I know Rule wanted to force more turnovers this year, which everybody wanted. I know that everyone was excited, including me, scoring in our first two games, safety in a pick six against Colorado and UTEP. But you got to tackle first. That's what's got to happen. You got to be able to tackle first. So what happens? Because there's a fine line between tackling, forcing turnovers. Where's this fine line, Adam? Here's what happens. If you're going to hit the quarterback from his front side where he can see you, just get the guy down. If you're coming up the middle, just get the guy down. If you're coming from his blind side, then you do the strip sack, especially if the ball's loose. If it's a running back, wide receiver, quarterback who takes off and runs, turns into a running back, first player in, tackle him. Next player, strip. You got to tackle first. You got to prioritize getting the man down. Then you go for the turnovers. The Blackshirts are still a good defense. not as good as they were last year, and not anywhere as good as they'd hoped to be. They talked, not a lot, but I'd heard quotes here and there. Tony White, other guys, players. When I interviewed John Bullock, who might be our, he's probably our best defensive player right now. I'd probably rank him one, Ty Robinson two. When I asked him, can you be a top five defense in the country? When I interviewed him, he said, oh, without hesitation, we can be the best defense in the country. That potential is there. I think that's where the disappointment comes in. Now, as far as when I was joking, we need to clean house, et cetera, it's kind of that overreaction, but it doesn't help. Another one-score loss. By the way, we've lost 8 overtime games in a row. Our last 9 overtime possessions have netted 0 first downs, 0 points. And in our overtime possession last Friday, I think we had negative 30 yards, and I'm not even joking. We got the ball on our 25, and I think it ended on their 45. Not a mathematician, not a math major, but I'm pretty sure it's about negative 30 yards. So we got to do much, much better in overtime. It's losing at home. It's losing another ranked matchup versus another ranked opponent. The way we lost, it's all tough. It all absolutely sucks. Let's be honest. At the end of the day, it's still one game. And the question is, how does Nebraska bounce back? Tony White's still a good coach. Matt Rhule's still a good program builder. Jury's out. Is he a good coach? Yes. Is he a great coach? No idea. He's never stayed anywhere long enough to prove if he's a great coach. He knows how to get programs to winning 8, 9, 10 games, competing for championships. He doesn't have the best record versus ranked teams. Also, a lot of those losses come while he's building the program up. Then once they're built up, he leaves. The GOAT, Tom Osborne, had a hard time beating Oklahoma, had a hard time winning bowl games, had a hard time in certain situations. Took him a while to figure it out. Then when he figured it out, oh, the avalanche came. And those are the glory days. My point is simply this. Matt Rhule's a program builder. He's a good coach. I believe we're on the way to being a good football team, a good program again, beyond respectable at some point in the near future. Will we be great? I don't know. That's where the gray area with Matt Rhule is. He doesn't plan on going anywhere else. He's told me that man-to-man, face-to-face. If he goes somewhere else, that is not what he told me, but that's what he's told me. So if he stays here 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 years, as long as everyone wants to keep him around, in his own words, per last offseason press conference, where he's like, I hope everyone wants to keep me around, he'll get an opportunity to show if he's a great coach, because great coaches have success versus really good teams, ranked teams, high-ranked teams over time. He's not had that, but this may be his first opportunity to prove it over time at a place where he plans on staying. So we don't need to clean house. We don't need to freak out. We need to get better. We need to get better on defense. We need to tackle better. If we need to blitz, I mean, after 2 games, we'd blitz 22% of the time, and that was okay because we were getting to the quarterback. If it ain't working, blitz. Come from all over the place. All right, Tommy Hill, I know he was banged up. Zaire Wright came in and played well, the USC transfer. Mr. Space Jam himself, kudos to him for being ready to go. But Tommy Hill, when he's healthy, I know he's got a little plantar fascia thing going on right now. Hopefully he gets back on the field sooner than later. He's a good player. Zaire Wright came in and played well. Marquise Buford's done well this year. Trust your back end, your secondary, unless you just don't. If you just don't, that's a different story. But we got Hartzog back there, who's been starting for like 3 years now at safety. He started at corner, started at safety. He can move all over the place. I don't care how good your secondary is if the quarterback doesn't have pressure on him. And credit Luke Altmaier. He made some plays, Illinois' quarterback. He moved around. He made plays. He was elusive. He made good throws. You saw why he was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. The turnover machine from a year ago, which he was, and that's what I called him, 10 interceptions in 9 games that he started, is now a good quarterback. Respect. Much love. But at the end of the day, we got to tackle better. We got to be better against the run. This is not a team that came in running the ball well. They had 166 yards rushing. At halftime, we had more total yards. We had more rushing yards. By the end of the game, they had outgained us 381 to 385. They had outrushed us by over an embarrassing over 100 yards, 166 to 48. We actually won the time of possession, 30-21 to 29-39. Very, very close there. They had more first downs. The fact of the matter is we're a good football team. We're the best we've been for a while, which is not admittedly saying a ton, unfortunately. But we just got to get better. The sky is not falling. This is not Chicken Little. Some people understand that. Some people don't. Feel free, the text line. Feel free to text in. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm crazy, and I'll say you're right. But the fact of the matter is we're a good football team going in the right direction in year two under Matt Rhule, a proven program builder. Is he a great coach? No idea. Give him an opportunity to learn, grow, and develop because he still clearly needs to do that. But give him the time, give him the process, and let's all do this thing together, ladies and gentlemen. All right, final thoughts, final look at Illinois versus Nebraska. All right. And then we are at some point going to react to Matt Rhule's press conference, which is going on right now, hopefully 12:30. If not, it'll be more 12:45, 12:50. And then we will look back at the previous college football weekend. North Carolina scored 50 points and still lost by 20.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Like, what in the world is that? I thought Kansas State was a decent football team. They got boat raced by three touchdowns, almost, by the boys from Provo. Michigan says, we're like the Undertaker. You knock us down, we're going to do the sit-up, and we're going to give you the death stare, and then we're going to turn into stone cold, stop a mud hole in you, and walk it dry, USC. That was a classic game, by the way. Classic game. Much respect to USC. I mean, they played good. They didn't get the win, but they played good. Michigan, not Michigan of the past 3 years, but they ain't dead yet. Respect to them. I got nothing but respect for that. We'll get into more of those. Tennessee, Oklahoma, Josh Heupel going home, if that's what you want to call it. Arch Manning gets into play. Looks really, really good. The Heisman frontrunner, Quinn Ewers, all of a sudden people are like, oh, we shouldn't even be starting. Man, let's not be so overreactive. By the way, Sark did put that to bed. Thank God. Quinn Ewers is the starter. Will not lose the job to an injury. Heard that before if you're a Husker fan going back in the day. It is too bad that Texas is so good or appears to be right now, but we'll get into that in a little bit. I want to, all right, just briefly look at Nebraska, Illinois. Then I want to look at the first four games as an overall whole if you're a Husker fan. All right, I've already talked about some of the stats as a whole. Let's go to the box score just real quick. Dylan Raiola, 24 of 35, 297 yards, three touchdowns, one INT. I mean, I thought he played well. You watch that game, you couldn't count on the Blackshirts to get a stop, although they got a couple of turnovers and short fields to the offense, which we should have capitalized on more. But you couldn't count on them to get a stop. You couldn't count on a run game. You couldn't count on the special teams. I kept thinking, well, thank God Dylan Raiola's come back out on the field. He turned out to be the one thing we could kind of sort of count on. Now, late in the game, did he play the same as the first three quarters? No. What more do you want from him right now? I'm proud of that kid. He's doing well so far. Dante Dowdell. He's clearly RB1. 20 carries, 72 yards. Ramir Johnson, 4 carries. And the other two running backs, nowhere to be found. Dante Dowdell is clearly the guy. And I'm not jabbing at the other guys. It's just pretty clear what's happening. Because Gabe Irvin, I still think, all right, he's got a lot of talent. Emmett Johnson, there's people who think he's the best running back. So it's not a jab at anybody. But Dante Dowdell has clearly been dubbed the guy, at least at this point. Jamal Banks, Isaiah Nayor, two leading receivers. 8 catches for Banks, kind of quiet, even though he had a couple of really impressive catches. Okay, Nayor seems to be the touchdown guy, though. I wish he'd have gotten one more, Jake. Just that one more. What are your thoughts on that? Do you blame him for not holding on to that? The catch in the end zone with the Illinois defender took it away. It turned out to be an INT. Do you blame him for not holding on to it? Raiola put the ball on point, shocker. Or do you just credit the Illinois guy for just taking it from him?
I think you just got to credit the Illinois guy. That was an amazing play that, you know, I had everybody on Twitter thinking about it. And it just kind of goes back to my, you know, goes back to what has happened to the catch over the years. You know, at one time it would be, okay, if you have possession, a foot down, that's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But over the last several years, it's what is the catch? How long do you have to hold on to it? Does that, you know, if you go to the floor, are you holding on to the ball? And so, you know, with the modern idea of what a catch is, I think that was probably the right call.
Well, it was the right call. I'm just saying. So you give more credit to Illinois' defensive back. 7 interceptions, by the way, by their secondary this year. I said they were good. So you give more credit to their DB than Isaiah not winning the battle.
I think so. It was one of the more spectacular plays I've seen from a defensive back.
All right. It can go either way. I won't argue with you. You're right at least 49% of the time, my friend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Banks played well, 8 catches, 94 yards, couple of really impressive catches in traffic. Isaiah Nayor, 4 catches, 90 yards, 22.5 yards per catch average, 2 touchdowns, a long of 44 on the night. Thomas Fedoni and Ja'Cory Barney were next two on the list. All right, defensively, John Bullock, again, led us in tackles. And unfortunately, I mean, not like 2 sacks is a really bad night, but it's not what you're hoping for if you want to be the number one defense in the country or top 5 or top 10, or at least match what you did last year, which was the 11th ranked defense in the country. Again, Tony White needs to make adjustments because other coaches have adjusted to what he does. So now we get to see what Tony White can do when it comes to adjustments. And that's really the mark of a good coach, is adjusting, whether it's in the offseason, studying film, whether it's in the middle of a season, in the middle of a game. I'm excited to see what Tony can do. I'm excited to see some better tackling. The black shirt ceiling is high, so expectations are high, and expectations are a privilege, and I can't wait to see what they do. Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana, the next 3 games. All right, here's some season stats. Points per game. Nebraska is averaging 31.5 points per game, giving up an average of 12.8. This stood out to me. And my God, if we'd have had this stat last year, we win 9 games. Points off turnovers, our opponents, 0. Nebraska, points off turnovers, 24. Could you imagine if that was the stat that existed a year ago, Jake? We would have been a 9-win team.
That clears all those that turnover problem right out.
Man. All right, first downs, we have 94. Opponents have 70. I'm not that interesting in rushing versus passing first downs. Rushing yardage, 562 yards on the year. We're averaging 4.1 yards per carry. We've given up 377, allowing 3 yards per carry. All right. We look at total offense. We're averaging just over 1,600 yards, or we have over 1,600 yards. I apologize. It's just over 400 yards per game of 402.3. We're giving up 286.8. The stats here are heavily in favor of Nebraska. If you just look at these stats. All right, time of possession. It's actually in our favor at 31-32 versus our opponents, 28-28. All right, sacks. We do need more of these. We're not even averaging 3 a game. I consider 4 sacks in a game to be a good game. 5 or above is great. Anything 1-0 is bad. 2-3 is okay. These black shirts want to be great. They don't want to be okay. We have 11 sacks through 4 games, so we're averaging an okay average amount of sacks per game. We have scored 16 touchdowns on the year. Our opponents have only scored 6. Like, these stats are largely in favor of us. We also have not played a lot of great teams. In Illinois, they're actually a big-time dog to Penn State. Can you look up the spread on Illinois where the S is silent versus Penn State this weekend? I want to say it's like 17, 18, 19 points. Illinois still got stuff to prove. They've beaten 2 ranked teams this year. All right, you look by the quarter. We've outscored our opponents 38-17 in the first quarter. The second quarter is our quarter, man. 58-3, the Huskers have the advantage. Third quarter, fourth quarter, not so much. We've outscored our opponents 13-10 and 17-14 in the third and fourth quarters, respectively, and we've been outscored 7-0 in overtime for a total of 126 points for the good guys, 51 total points through 4 games for the bad guys. So what that says to me, we got to get better at making adjustments throughout the game. We absolutely dominate in the first half. And again, we had more total yards, more rush yards at halftime. Illinois surpassed us in both and by over 100 yards in the rushing department by the end of the game. We averaged 1.6 yards per carry, by the way. What's the spread, Jake?
17.5.
All right. I knew it was something like that. Were you surprised that it was that high?
Yeah, that's awfully disrespectful to a team that you consider in the top 25. I don't know. Penn State hasn't necessarily ran through everybody, so I'm surprised by that.
I have no idea what to expect out of Penn State. All of a sudden, Drew Aller can throw the ball down the field and Jillian Fleming can catch. But for the first 2 games, they really couldn't. So I don't know what to make out of that game. I'm actually pretty intrigued. I'm going to watch that game. I assume it's on Saturday with all these Big Ten Friday games. I don't know. But I'm going to watch it whenever it is. I was surprised by the spread a little bit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, final thoughts, Nebraska, Illinois. The sky is not falling. It was a rough, disappointing, gut punch of a loss, especially the way it went down. We got to get better. We have an opportunity to get back on the winning track versus Purdue. Rutgers is going to come in here. We got a bye week, and then we go to Bloomington. FYI, Indiana and Rutgers are a combined 7-0. They've also played, with all due respect, absolutely nobody. If you want to count UCLA as somebody this year, I guess you can. The most impressive thing they've done so far is go down to LSU and lose. It was a competitive, fun game to watch. But whenever somebody points to a loss as the best thing you've done, I've never been impressed by that. So my point is simply this. I can't wait to see how we bounce back versus Purdue. I can't wait to see what the adjustments are. And I said before the season, a lot of people were like, 7-0, 7-0. I was like, yeah, we're going to be favored in every game. That ball bounces funny ways. We're going to get a freshman moment or a bad call. 6-1. And as long if we're not 5-2, we got real issues. 6-1 was my prediction. I still feel decent about that. I fully expect us. Well, I don't give away my prediction for Purdue this weekend, although it might be obvious. I fully expect us to be 4-1 after this weekend. Feel good about 6-1, really good about 5-2. If we ain't 5-2, that's a 3-game losing streak going into the back half of that schedule. And that's not going to happen, right, Jake? You're going to guarantee that, right?
Yeah, I'll be the one.
You put
I'll
your salary on it? Okay, yeah. I appreciate it. All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking and looking back and recapping the most exciting college football games from last weekend and reacting to Matt Rhule's press conference. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.